Well, hello and welcome once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. As you probably already know, these Bible teachings are brought to you through the money that we earn at the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is the hand car wash business that is located in Churchill, Tennessee. You can find us at Highway 11W. We're in the Powell Shopping Center, and there you can come and get your car washed. This is how we earn the money to support this ministry. So if you believe that verse by verse Bible teaching is not only powerful and effective, but absolutely needed in a society that is simply demeaned the Word of God. You know, even churches have scaled down the amount of Bible that they're willing to preach out there. And so verse by verse Bible teaching brings God's Word in its fullness. And as a result, we are changed, or we are forced to at least make a decision on whether or not we want to change. There are several ways you can listen to these messages. They air Monday through Friday on WMCH 1260 AM radio here in the Churchill area. But the best way is just come by the parking lot, turn to 107.1 FM, and these messages that we play on throughout the week, they play on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we want this parking lot and this area to be known as a place where you can come and hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching any day of the week, all the time. And that's why we do this business. So if you want to support us, we don't ask for money or tithes or charity or anything like that. We say, come on by, let us work to earn the money to support this ministry. We do a really good job. We got some great reviews, and we encourage you to come by and let us take care of your vehicle. Now, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul is, you know, if you've been following along, you know that this is a letter of correction, and a lot of it is a letter of rebuke. And if you missed any of the sermons, I want to invite you to go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can download and listen to, and you can share these messages via text. It's real simple to share them. But you can catch up if you missed any of them by going to washandword.com, clicking on the media tab. So we're in chapter 9, and Paul we left off talking about the earth and the environment and, you know, being green and taking care of this earth. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, it was a command back in the garden. And so we're supposed to take care of this earth. But Paul's just kind of warning everyone here that, look, it isn't something that should take precedence in your life, especially over the things of the Lord. And so I kind of got off on a little tangent in our last teaching, but Paul's dealing with the rights of an apostle, and he's saying basically that, you know, we as workers of the word have a right to certain rights. And, you know, then he started bringing up some of the scriptures and some of the laws that talk about, you know, in verse 9 or 8 rather, it says, doesn't the law say the same thing? For it's written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out in the grain. And, you know, he goes on to say that this is not about oxen that God is concerned about, but it's about us. It's giving us an example to show that, you know, God has allowed us to have certain rights. Now, whether you exercise those rights or not is completely up to you. You know, one of the things about preaching is if the devil attacks you in any way, it's usually in the loss for simple words that just seem to be on the tip of your tongue. It happens to me just too many times. But anyway, getting back to this, let's look at verse 10, and we'll pick it up where we left off. Surely he says this for us. Again, he's saying that, you know, these laws were laid out not for the animals per se, but they're for people. So he says, surely this was said for us, doesn't he? This was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. So you see what Paul's doing here. He's trying to convince large parties, that is, that would be reading this, of his rights, saying that he has a right to certain things. But why? Why is he continuing in this vein of thought? Why is he trying to build such a watertight case for his right to accept, you know, whether it be money or housing or, you know, food, whatever it is? Why is he building such a watertight case? He's doing it for the sole purpose of denying it. And by that I mean he's trying to present himself. It's like, look, I have the right to this, this, or this as an apostle, as a preacher of God's word. But here's the thing. I don't even want it. And, you know, that this is how we modeled the washing word. I'm not trying to, build myself up or anything like that. But this is, you know, we wanted this to be like Paul in his tent ministry, where if at all possible, he never wanted to tax the people for the service and the ministry that he does. And that's how we feel here. We want to just get God's word out there, and we're willing to work with our hands really hard to do that without taxing the people. Of course, we have sales tax, but that's not what I'm talking about. Paul's building up this case so that he can deny it. It would be like a defense lawyer spending hours and hours proving his client is innocent, and after the deliberation and the verdict of not guilty comes in, the lawyer stands up and says, "Good. Boy, I'm so glad you finally saw it our way. Oh, and by the way, he did do it." It wouldn't make sense, would it? Well, that's what Paul's trying to say here. And so now Paul enters into a spiritual connection to what he's trying to say. In verse 11, we're in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more?" And so what he's saying here is, you know, the right to be supported because of the ministry or the spiritual help that one gives to another is biblically and morally right. But here's the point, and this is how Paul finishes verse 12. He says, "But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." Isn't that fantastic? Paul spends all this time defending his rights, building a watertight case, and then fat out proclaims, "But we didn't even want to use those rights. We wanted nothing to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. We didn't want anybody to go back and say, well, Paul only came and did this and this and this so that he could get this and that and that." And, you know, that is a worldly mentality in when they view the church today, isn't it? So many people think the church is just out there to fleece the flock and to fleece people, and all their concern is about passing a basket and taking up money. And there are some churches that abuse this. There's no doubt this is a concern of unbelievers that has some validity behind it. We're not all like that, but it's definitely something that does take place. But Paul is squelching that right away, right here. One of my favorite preachers of old is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And there's a story in Chaplin magazine that says that Charles Spurgeon and his wife would sell. They would refuse to give away, but they would sell the eggs that their chickens laid. Even close relatives were told, "You may have them if you pay for them." As a result, some people labeled Spurgeon as greedy and grasping. They accepted the criticism without defending themselves, and only after Mrs. Spurgeon died was the full story revealed. All the profits from the sales of the eggs went to support two elderly widows. And because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what their right hand was doing, Matthew 6:36, they endured the attacks in silence. I love that story. You know, they sold their eggs, they were supporting, and they never once told anybody why they were doing it. And now, getting back to giving and tithing and supporting, listen, this isn't anything you probably don't know, but it takes money to run a church. It takes money to support the mortgage and the electric and, you know, all the stuff that goes into supporting a building of a church. But I've got to ask a question. Is this what it was meant to be? I mean, there's always going to be some costs involved, but we have gotten to the point in so many of our establishments, our church establishments, that the budget is so great that it hinders the pastor or the preacher from preaching all of God's word, because if they were to do that, they no doubt would force people out the door. Those who were not willing to accept the truth of God's word, the hard truths. And so they would leave, and so would their checks. And so a lot of churches are backed into a corner simply because they have such a large budget for their church itself. J.L. Kraft, who was the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, said, "The only investment I ever made which paid consistently increasing dividends with his money was that which he had given to the Lord." J.D. Rockefeller said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $150 per week." There is a return in tithing to the Lord and to his work. And I have noticed that there are a lot of people that don't tithe in churches anymore. Long-standing members, people that understand the word, mature believers, sometimes they don't even tithe. Now, two things come to my mind when I talk, when I think about tithing. First off, if your tithing is off the record, that is given anonymously in cash, well, that is a step of faith that goes beyond giving, isn't it? Because you're allowed by the tax laws to claim your tithing as charity. And those who do that receive a special reward for not claiming it. And there are others out there that think that their ministry or their service to the Lord or to the church is their tithing. Friends, if that is your mindset, you are grossly in error when it comes to knowing your Savior. And I would dare to say you do not understand grace if you think tithing to the Lord or to the work of the Lord is serving. Serving is something that comes with just being saved. Tithing is something that we give above and beyond to continue the work through its monetary needs. Again, all ministry of God's word requires some measure of monetary work. And if you're thinking that I wish I could tithe, but I'm barely getting by as it is, then again, you are in serious error when it comes to your relationship and your knowledge of God. You are spiritually immature. These are harsh words, aren't they? Well, your relationship with God and your knowledge about God and your faith in Jesus, if you think all of those things about tithing is a sham and a facade. And again, I'm sorry for the harsh words, but if your attitude about giving back to the ministry is reflective of anything that I just mentioned, you are weak and spiritually immature, period. Now, that being said, let me say this. We don't need your money, especially here at the Washing Word. We earn what we need, and Paul says, "I don't need your money." He has exercised his right. He has legitimately, through the law of Moses and through the new grace covenant of the church, demonstrated that he has a right, but he denies that right. The church I used to pastor, we never passed a plate. We just let the people tithe and in boxes in the back. We have to trust God for our financial support, but if we're hoarding and holding on to things, God's never going to bless what we don't first give out. And we're going to pick this up when we pick back up in our teaching, because verses 13 and 14 shed more biblical authority on the subject of ministerial support by those who are being supported by the minister in a spiritual matters. So again, would like you to invite you to join me again tomorrow on this radio station, WMCH, 8:30 in the morning. Hey, I also want to invite you out to live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I teach on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship. We're at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill, and there we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and I'd like you to come out and to hear some more good verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you're in the area of the Washing Word, come on by. Again, you can put on your radio to 107.1, and you can hear these messages being played 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We play them on a loop, so they're always available. And come by and get your car washed. That's how we support this ministry. And we look forward to hearing from you. So we'll see you when you get down here, and If you have any questions, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com.